Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number, 844-322-2742. Once again, 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online so that you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The good news is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive, and boy, that's a profound statement, yes, Isn't it? It's a historical fact, but it's also something that reaches into our everyday experience and changes us. And one of the ways it changes us, it takes us from bondage into freedom. It takes us from death into life. That's the good news. That's how it benefits us on a day-to-day basis. So we've been talking this week about freedom, and we've been using the Exodus story as the backdrop for the discussion. And I think it's an appropriate story, because that is the story of God's rescue of the people of Israel, yes, from enslavement to the Egyptians. And they had been that way for 400 years. So you can imagine what it was like when they actually crossed the Red Sea and stepped on dry land on the other side and were free. I mean, they probably had no earthly idea what life was going to look like moving forward.
We're free. Yeah. Now what?
Yeah, exactly. Now what? They didn't really have a foundation for it, because all of their lives they'd just known the Egyptian way of life. They knew the Egyptian gods. They knew the Egyptian economy, the Egyptian finances, the Egyptian way of worship. That's all they knew.
Yep.
And now they had been severed from that way of life. God, in parting the Red Sea and then bringing it back as the Egyptians came up, he severed them from that way of life. So every step forward was going to be something brand new for them.
Yes.
But their hope for this freedom, this newfound freedom, was not them trying to figure it all out. It was the very presence of God among them. That was their hope, and that's our hope too. You and I have been severed from sin and death. That's what the gospel message does. It introduces us to freedom, but our hope of experiencing that freedom to the full and to live it out exactly the way God designed it for us is pinned to Jesus. He has come to live inside of us. His presence is what's going to guide us into this unknown area called freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So we have great hope. We have Jesus Christ himself, Christ in us, our hope of glory.
Yeah. I think if you listen to this broadcast, it would be almost impossible not to come away encouraged. I just think that the basic gospel message is one that really resonates with our hearts and our lives. And so, friends, I hope you're hearing this message every day. Well, calls are beginning to come in, and we still have open lines, of course, at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. If you've got that question that's been burning, why, let us put some water on it. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Marie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Marie. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I just had a question. For the first time in my life, I heard 2 days ago, and I didn't get a chance to research it. Will all of Israel be saved? I think the scripture, the person noted, was in Romans. They said in end times, there's a remnant that will be saved, and then the rest of Israel will be saved. But
well,
they haven't accepted Christ.
Well, here, Marie, is what the scripture has to say. It's Romans 11, verses 25 and 26, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. So God had this incredible plan Marie, to reach both Jew and Gentile. So Jesus came unto his own. His own received him not. They rejected Jesus. And so the message went out into the Gentile world. And so we're living today in this age of the Gentiles. And in this age of the Gentiles, it's not that Jews are not coming to Christ. There is a remnant that are coming to Christ. They've been chosen by the very grace of God that saves us as well. And so the two are making up a new body called the church. Well, still, you know, Israel at large has a hard heart toward Jesus. They basically reject Jesus as their Messiah. But once this age of the Gentiles is complete, then this gospel message is going to circle back around to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is going to recognize Jesus as their Messiah. And as it says, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. It doesn't necessarily mean that anyone that is of Jewish descent is a part of this Israel of God. But it does say that all Israel will be saved, and those will be the true people of God from those 12 tribes. So we can count on that. And again, what that looks like, Marie, we're not exactly sure. Richard, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think it's helpful, though, to look a little bit further down in that chapter. It says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. So, I mean, God promised Abraham that the whole earth would be blessed through his seed. That promise is certain throughout all of history.
Irrevocable.
Irrevocable. And so, however this looks, it's not our speculation, it's God's promise that this kind of thing is going to happen. And so I can't wait to see how it's going to work itself out.
Another thing to look forward to. It was really, I just felt really ignorant, just like the passage said. I had never heard of that. I just assumed they never accepted Christ. They will not be saved. Wow.
Well, that's true. If you don't accept Jesus, you won't be saved. But that's why, as this comes around after the age of the Gentiles, that Jews, you know, as a race, as a people, will somehow be confronted with who Jesus is and have a chance to accept their true Messiah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Marie. Thanks for your call. It's kind of interesting. Paul kind of talks a little bit more about Israel, the nature of Israel, in chapter 9. It said, it's not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel.
Yes.
So there's Israel after the flesh, and then there's Israel after the faith of Abraham, so to speak.
Yes.
Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, what did he believe God about? Well, this promised seed, through whom the world would be blessed. It's interesting, you know, there was a promise of a great nation, a promise of a land. Mm-hmm. All of that was a part of that Abrahamic covenant. But the piece of it that really struck Abraham to the core and generated that response of faith was this promise about the seed.
Yes.
Through this seed, the world would be blessed. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, that is kind of the foundational piece of what constitutes Israel. It is those who are of the faith of Abraham.
Yes.
Now, that's true for Gentiles as well. Mm-hmm. We believe the same thing that Abraham did, that Messiah has come and that blessings flow through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
That's the key piece of this that I think we need to really, bring to the table.
Yes.
As far as all Israel being saved, those who are of the faith of Abraham.
Well, Maria, thank you for your question. And we have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, had a question, a very interesting question, and I think an important one from Susan concerning faith. She says, it's extremely difficult for me to believe that God loves me. I heard you suggest to a caller recently to read Ephesians 3:17 morning and night, which I started yesterday. She says, I'm 61. When I was 10, my parents divorced, and when I was 17, my mother committed suicide. Several weeks after my mother's death, I asked the Lord into my life, but I turned my back on him shortly after being saved because I was so angry for my mom's death. I've made so many bad choices, and the consequences are so painful. I've asked for forgiveness, but when and how can I forgive myself?
Well, that's a very important question, and I think we have to come to the point and realize that we forgive ourselves when we learn that Christ has truly forgiven us.
Yes.
And, you know, there's no place in the Word of God that talks about forgiving yourself. You can't find it. There's not a passage. There's not a single scripture. There's nothing in there that even remotely suggests that we forgive ourselves. But it's implied that when we accept the full forgiveness of God, from God, then we'll be able to let go of our past. We'll be able to leave those things where they belong. Why? Because the most important person in the world, God himself, is leaving them in the past. He's dealt with it. He's offered up a sacrifice in Jesus, and it's done. It's finished. Forgiveness is ours. It's been accomplished. So there's nothing more for us to do. So when we can truly learn to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's when we're able to let go of the past. And I'm sure somebody in this situation, you know, first, she went through a divorce. Her parents divorced when she was very young.
Yeah, 10 years.
And there's incredible scars that happen in the life of a child. Why? Because a child's security is built upon the foundation of mom and dad loving one another. For a kid, that's more important than mom and dad loving them. Now, I'm not saying it's not important for mom and dad to love the children, but the most important way that they do that is by loving one another.
Right.
So if you want your kids to be healthy, you know, emotionally and that sort of thing, man, invest time in each other as mom and dad. But when a divorce happens, man, all kinds of things happen in the life of a kid, in the soul of a kid, in the psyche of the kid, in the mind of the kid. And so they start thinking of themselves as unworthy. And then to, you know, add fuel to that, the mom commits suicide. And so I'm sure she's scratching her head thinking, what have I done? Why was I such an unlovable, unworthy person that would bring my mom to such drastic actions? So more than likely she's carried that through, and that stained her whole existence. So even though she's hearing all of these great verses about God's love for her, it stops at the stain. But that doesn't apply to me because I'm unworthy. My parents got divorced. I'm unworthy. My mom committed suicide. I'm just an unworthy, unlovable person. Well, none of that changes the fact that Jesus Christ died for her. And if there had been only one person, if she had been the only person on the planet, God would have sent Jesus just for her. That's the value of God's love. That's the enormity of God's love. That's the intimacy of God's love. And so it starts right there, the fact that God sent Jesus on her behalf. That's the way forward. That's the way to let go of the past and really rest in the finished work of Christ in this new identity that she has as a believer.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that the Bible tells us to exercise faith over. Things like forgiveness. You can't see forgiveness, so you have to accept it by faith. But the Bible doesn't tell us to accept God's love by faith. What it tells us, Romans 5,
8,
but God demonstrates his own love for us. Demonstrates it. It's not imaginary. It was a physical reality. He demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing that can overcome that.
Yeah, God just makes that choice to do it, and he demonstrated that choice with some very tangible action in Christ.
So, Susan, to get to the forgiveness issue for yourself, immerse yourself in the love of Jesus Christ, and the rest will fall in place.
Absolutely, and that's one chapter in the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, How to Forgive Yourself. And we go into great detail there, so we'd love to put that into her hands, into the hands of anyone else that may be struggling with forgiving themselves.
As a matter of fact, for anyone who can make a gift of $15 or more to the ministry, you'll get a free copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you can do that by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. If you'd like to get multiple copies to help us get the word out, to share with your family, your friends, with your workmates, you can do that by going to our book site, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to San Mateo, California, and talk with Patty, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Patty. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I do have a question. I have had a question with you before, but I do have a question. Billy Graham used to say in his crusade, for people to come to Christ before it is too late. And I'm beginning to wonder what too late is. Can you still be alive and it can be too late? Like you get dementia or something, or maybe you just have neglected Jesus for so long that now you are being cut off. So what does too late mean, actually?
Well, Patty, it can mean a lot of different things. I think how I would address it would be this way. The Bible is constantly saying things like, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let today be the day of salvation. And because we really don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. We may say, well, I'm just not ready. I want to take care of some things. I want to sow some oats. I want to do this, that, and the other. And then I'll be ready to receive Christ. Well, we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. We don't know what's going to happen the next day or the next day or the next day. So here's this incredible offer of life where you can go from death to life. There's nothing in the world that can compare to that. So why would you put something, an obstacle in your way of coming to Christ when you really don't know what tomorrow will hold? So I think of it in those terms. Like I said, we just don't know what the future. We can't presume on it. We can't say, hey, this and this and this will take place, and then I'll come to Christ. Sometimes it just doesn't work that way.
Okay, thank you so much.
Does that make sense, Patty?
Yeah, it does. It does. Thank you.
Okay. Have you come to know Christ personally?
Yes, I have, but I neglected Jesus for 64 years, and now I am having problems with feeling regret. And sometimes I feel like I'm being cut off because I can't seem to get the trust in God that I know is an internal trust, and also witness to people. I seem to be withheld from witnessing to people. Something's wrong. I feel sometimes like I'm a fake.
Well, Patty, here's the deal. If you've come to Christ, Christ has come to live inside of you. You've been made alive together with him. That's what the gospel story is all about. New life in Christ. And that new life, I mean, when we look at our life here on earth and we think that, you know, the average age is maybe 82 or the lifespan is 82 here in America, what is that in light of eternity? And so the moment that you receive Christ, you've kind of entered into eternal life, and eternal life has entered into you, whether that was early in your physical life or late in your physical life. You still get the joy of knowing Christ. And that's what I would encourage you, Patty. It's not, you know, it's not about going out and witnessing. It's not about, it's not like you have, you know, I've got a lot of making up to do.
No.
It's just simply this, that right now, right today, you get the incredible privilege of growing in your knowledge of Christ, finding out more about who he is and what he's really like and what he thinks about you and how he wants to live his life through you. So my suggestion would simply be this, Patty, is relax, rest in what Christ has accomplished for you, and allow him to do in and through you what he wants to do. And you will be surprised by that. And you know, you'll find yourself talking to people about the Lord.
Yes.
and you know, never necessarily intended to do anything. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're telling them about the love of Jesus. So you don't have to make up for lost time. You just simply need to rest in what Christ has accomplished for you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Patty. Let me do this. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think it'll be a big help in your right where you are right now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Glad you called,
you hang
Patty.
On. Well, let's go to Tony, listening to us in New York on WMCA. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, it's funny how I was going to come up with, I was going to ask a question, but then you were talking to that lady about when he says it's today that you have to come to the Lord. Well, years ago, I was thinking to myself, nah, I'm going to come to the Lord before I die. I'll just come ask him for forgiveness. And I was doing a lot of bad things and stuff. And then one day, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see the car. The car hit me. I flew in the air, and I was in a coma for 4 days. And I got to tell you, that was the best thing that happened to me. That car accident was the best thing, because now I realize that Christ came to die for my sins. And I'm saved, because if I would have died, I would have died without Christ.
Yeah,
and
so
I would have put it off.
Well, Tony, that was a big wake up call for you, wasn't it?
Aha, very funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a wake up call. Anyway, I was going to ask you concerning sanctification. I've left a lot of things that I'm trying to like. Like, for example, things have been just falling off, like an onion peel falling off. But then I'm thinking to myself, am I doing it by works? Am I doing it because I want to get this credited to me? Or is it because God has sanctified me? So I'm confused about the sanctification. And
well, Tony, let me jump in. We just have a couple of seconds. When you come to Christ by faith, you are set apart. You're sanctified. So that's a once for all act that God does on your behalf through Jesus. So he sets you apart so that he could live his life through you. And as you simply trust him, you're going to find that the things of this world, as the song says, grow strangely dim. You know, the things that you thought were so important, were so meaningful, just lose all of their glamour and glitz. And you don't pay attention to them anymore. And that's just the byproduct. That's just the result of you growing in your relationship with Christ, growing in grace and growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Tony, you have been sanctified once and for all. You're set apart for God to live his life through you. Rest in that. And I think what you're seeing is just the benefits of it. Well, Tony, thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And remember, Basic Gospel in your giving, everybody. We really need your help, and we'll keep the good news coming if you keep the support coming. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition. For Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.